Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
What I have discovered on a Tuesday when the Treasury is doing books is that since Maggie Burford came to work for us, I've discovered that coins are not just coins. Because the first thing that they do every Tuesday now, Maggie will come running into the office and ask Ian, have you any 50p's? That's right, isn't it? Yes. Or he will go running into the office and say, I have one. Did you know that 50p's are very precious in that they are quite novelty items? I just thought they were just normal coins. But virtually every 50p that's minted nowadays has an image on the back of it. And some of them are more rarer than others. If you have one with Kew Gardens on, they reckon that's worth about £800. I have to have this every Tuesday now, where I have the exchange of the 50p's. So Margaret comes with her plain common 50p's and asks if he's got any novelty ones that you've given in the offering that she can exchange. Now, I have to say, I don't believe she's selling them on eBay for lots of money. I actually believe she has the joy of collecting the coins. You see, it's not the value of the coin, it's the joy in collecting the different variations. Value. What is actually valuable in God's economy? Matthew chapter 6 says this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, the gospel writer to me, as he writes that, is saying that there are two ways that we can live. We can live with a view to accumulating valuable things on earth, or we can live with a view to accumulating valuable things in the godly realm. Our eternal perspective affects our earthly priorities. And what will make the kingdom of heaven so heavenly to us will not be the glorious phenomenon of the new creation or the rich rewards that we'll receive, as wonderful as they'll be. The real treasure there will be God himself. And that's what the value of our treasure is, knowing and being with the one from whom all blessings flow. God's savings presence and sovereign rule are extraordinarily precious treasures, more valuable and more desirable than anything else. What is valuable in God's economy? It's not a possession. It's a person. And that person is God himself and us knowing him. Ian, I dread to think how many times you will have collected treasure for our church over the last 36 years. Not just here this on a Sunday, but out there through annual appeal. And this morning, as we look at this idea of what is valuable in God's economy, I want us to think of two things. I want us to think of collecting treasure, and secondly, I want us to think of making treasure. Matthew goes on in chapter 13 to give a little parable that we all know. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. You've probably heard that parable many, many times. The treasure and the pearl represent Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers. And whilst we all recognize We cannot pay for salvation by selling all our worldly goods. Once we've found the prize, we should be willing to give up everything that we've got in order to possess it. That's the simple message behind the parable. It's interesting, though, that in this little parable, there's two different ways of finding. Firstly, you have the man who finds the treasure in the field. How does he find it? Just out of chance. Doesn't tell us that there was any intention. He wasn't like those beachcombers I see on the beach when we go late in the evening with their metal detectors looking. No, 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 no. It just seems to suggest he was walking through a field and by chance he found this treasure. He didn't expect to find it because he wasn't looking for it. But that doesn't stop him doing something about this moment of grace. And he doesn't allow the moment of grace to go by without doing something proactive. And what does he do? He does what we all would do in order to take possession of the treasure. He goes and sells everything he's got. He buys the field, and in buying the field, he gets the treasure. He wasn't expecting to find it. Now, contrast that with the second one, the man with the pearls. He's a pearl merchant. Now, the parable clearly tells us his profession is to go looking for pearls. So actually, this man had set out that morning when he woke up, and he was going looking for pearls of great value. Here, the discovery of the pearl is not by chance. It's intentional. It's the fruit of a long search. And having found it, he knows the value of the pearls. He's a merchant. He's trading. He's bartering. He knows how much these things are worth. He's a trader. He can't be deceived. And so when he finds this pearl of great value, he goes and sells everything he's got in order to buy and own that pearl. And you notice he stops seeking pearls when he finds this one that's of great value. You know, the love of God through Christ constitutes the pearl which once found makes further searching unnecessary. When we find Christ, we don't need to search further. Christ fulfills our greatest needs. Christ satisfies our longings. Christ makes us whole. Christ makes us clean before God. Christ calms and quietens our hearts and allows for divine communion. And Christ gives us hope for the future that cannot be taken away. There's no need to look for anything else after that. You know what amazes me about this little parable is that the treasure is actually hidden. It's not easily seen. But it's in the commonplaces of life. The parable isn't about some Indiana Jones figure who's got to go through jungles and temples in order to get to the final place where it's in the common place. It's a field. That's all it is, a field or an ocean. And you know, as people who come in life looking for treasure, I want to say to you this morning that as collectors of treasure, we will find the treasure that is God in the most common places of life. It's not always easy to see, but it's there. And any of us can find it. You see, treasure comes as a result of God's gracious act, but it also comes through effort and search. And if we're going to be collectors of divine treasure, we've got to recognize that. You know, I was always encouraged to collect. I was told I had to have a bank account when I was 7. I took it into school. You had to take your 10 pence on a Monday morning. And it was school bank, and it was a little yellow book. I remember it well. My mother used to give it to me every Monday, 10 pence, 10 pence, 10 pence. And once you'd reached a pound, it could be converted into a TSB account. And I had my first navy blue TSB bank account. That was great until I came to want to spend it, and my mother wouldn't let me spend it. Because I was encouraged to collect. And you know, I've taken that into life. I've been a collector of treasure. I remember when I was in the training college, David Lambert Gorwin was the senior training officer. And in one of his brigade meetings, he said to me, or he said to us all as a brigade, he said, I want you to have a file where you collect your treasures. Where you put all the things that happen over your ministry and keep them so that on difficult days you can go to that folder and you can get your treasure out and you can read it and you can be reminded of the beautiful treasure that is yours. Do you know what? I've still got the file. I still collect the treasure. And do you know what? The value of the treasure does not depreciate. It's not like my car or my house or whatever. The value of my spiritual treasure never depreciates. Friends, be treasure collectors. Be treasure collectors. And secondly, Matthew 25. Matthew goes on to give another important thing about gifts. You remember, it was the parable of the talents, where a landowner had given servants so many coins, told them that he was going away, and then when he came back, he found out what they'd done with it. One had multiplied it by lots, the other had multiplied it by a little, the other one had done nothing with it at all, because he was so fearful. You know, to me, that's a parable about being a maker of treasure. A maker of treasure. It's all right collecting treasure, but making treasures a whole heap harder. I'm guessing over the years you've found many imaginative ways of fundraising, haven't you? Different boxes, different events, 20p's in a Smarty tube, whatever it has been. Imaginative ways of creating treasure. And you know, actually, there's something that the treasurer does that is one of the most important jobs. He doesn't just take it from you. He gives it out. I stand in line with my expenses and hope he pays me. I'm guessing you do. Because actually, to be a treasure distributor rather than a treasure accumulator is equally important in God's economy. I'm going to miss him in the little office on a Sunday morning, because one of the last things he says before we leave, after we've prayed, he turns around to me and he says, have you got your offering? And I quickly go to my pocket. And in the busyness of getting ready for the meeting, I discover I've not got an offering in my pocket. I have to say to you, I pay my cartridge by standing order, so hey. No, I haven't. And from his hand, he presents me a pound coin. And then I IOU it to him on Tuesday. But actually, what's he doing? He's making treasure. He's been a blessing. There's that old chorus in the songbook that says, make me a blessing, O Saviour, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. One of my little retired officers in Australia, Major Heather Merrick, I was delighted to read in the Sydney Morning Herald this week that she's been given the Order of Australia, the equivalent of an MBE in the Queen's Birthday Honours List. And she's quoted, she's well into her 80s now. She did a lot of work in women's refuges and prisons and all that. And she's quoted as saying this in the Sydney Morning Herald. I think of all those who helped me in this appointment, and this award should go to them. Really was a shock for me to receive it. And there are so many others who deserve it more than me. I'm an ordinary person, and it's just been a privilege for me to serve the Lord. I just wanted to introduce the people I've worked with to Jesus. She's a treasure maker. That's what she is. She makes treasure. She creates the climate where treasure can be made in the name of the Lord. Now, friends, not only are we treasure collectors, we're treasure makers. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the spiritual treasure. Listen to this, I'm finishing with this. Quote from N.T. Wright. Every act of love, gratitude and kindness, every work of art or music inspired by the love of God and delight in the beauty of his creation, every minute spent teaching a severely handicapped child to read or to walk, every act of care and nurture, of comfort and support for one's fellow human beings, and of course every prayer, all spirit-led teaching, every deed that spreads the gospel, builds up the church, embraces and embodies holiness rather than corruption, and makes the name of Jesus honoured in the world. All of this will find its way through the resurrection power of God into the new creation God will one day make. And this is the logic of the mission of God. God's recreation of his wonderful world, which began with the resurrection of Jesus and continues mysteriously as God's people live in the risen Christ and in the power of his Spirit, means that what we do in Christ in the present is not wasted. It will last all the way into the new world. Now that's making treasure. So this morning, as we come to the end of the meeting, it's been a special meeting. And I've just taken some gospel passages from Gospels, Matthew's Gospel, that talk about treasure, three of them. I've also taken the functions of the role of the core treasurer. But in so doing, what I've tried to do this morning is remind myself, and hopefully you, of the importance of seeing afresh what is valuable in God's economy. I hope I've reminded you and me of the importance of collecting treasure. Be people who collect beautiful spiritual treasures. And of discovering and doing all that we can to find the Christ who fills our greatest needs. And not just be a collector of treasure, but a maker of treasure too. What will you be this day? I hope it'll be a collector and maker of treasure. Let's pray together. God, our Father and Protector, without you nothing is holy, nothing has value. And so this day we are reminded of what's valuable in God's economy. And as we live out our lives in this world, may we be people who collect the treasure that you provide into our lives. Whether we look for it or not, it's there. And may we see it always, and may we always be thankful for the treasures that you send our way. But more than that, may we be makers of treasure too. And so guide us to everlasting life. Help us to use wisely the blessings you've given to the world. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.